How would you describe yourself as a leader?
I empower the team and set accountability. I encourage a healthy competition within the team, constructive feedback and listening.
Maybe something didn't work. How do you bring your team through that?
We have challenges, and it's normal that we fail. As long as we learn from our failures. I mean, at the end of the day, our career is a journey. My role is to support and empower them.
As a marketing professional, do you consider the media nowadays more accessible, and do you consider this to be an important tool?
Market media is a critical pillar in any campaign. If we want to position ourselves as innovators, we have to be in the innovation space within media.
Hello everyone, hello YouTube, hello LinkedIn, and this is a C-Suite Influence podcast where we interview regional leaders about their daily motivations, about what makes them leaders as they are. And in this episode, we're talking to Mohammed Yusuf. Mohammed is heading a marketing team at Red Hat for emerging markets. Welcome, Mohammed, and I'm giving you this time to introduce yourself, tell about a little bit more about your team and the role that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Lara, for having me. So I head marketing for emerging markets, and as you're seeing, there are always changes in terms of geography. So in general, we have field marketeers where they sit in the countries and they are closer to the customers and partners in each countries to understand their needs and work hand in hand with them to deliver value from Red Hat. Red Hat as an organization, we're a software company focused on cloud, and we're a subsidiary from IBM. So we have been on a double-digit growth path for quite some time. So it's exciting times. And definitely, other than the field marketeers, we have external comms. We have industry experts in marketing. We have marketing development resources. So yes, quite a small team, but definitely.
You have a big organization. So it's a big corporation, big organization, different sort of feeling and the culture. And today, I think in our conversation, so we will try to talk about marketing leadership. You know, leading marketing within organization, and also bringing up marketeers to being leaders as well in the region. I think it's very important, and you've got all sorts of insights and knowledge to help to make this episode a very insightful one. So let me drop you the first question straight away. How would you describe yourself as a leader? What leader are you? Are you prioritizing operational side of marketing or creative side of marketing? Because I think there's always a big question and a big sort of room for finding the balance.
Yes, so the type of leader that I believe I am is I'm very much outcome driven. Mm-hmm. I empower the team and set accountability. I encourage a healthy competition within the team. Constructive feedback and listening is very important as well. But more important is being customer-centric and trying to, when I do any marketing campaigns or take any approaches or look at strategy or go-to-market, I look at it from the customer point of view. How can we add value to the customers? When we talk to different customers, what is the persona? So are they working as business leaders, or are they working in the technical environment where we can have different tailored messages to each of them? Agility is something as well that is very important, mm-hmm, nowadays, especially with all the changes when it comes to emerging markets. There is a lot of volatility, so agility is very important, and resilience as well. Understanding that how can you change in the current environment when you have a situation in one market, how can you compensate by shifting your focus in different markets. Strategic thinking is very important as well. So getting out of the day-to-day operation and execution and looking at the longer term goals is very important as well.
It must be quite difficult to prioritize all the values that you've just mentioned. Do you happen to prioritize some of them over the others? As an example, you mentioned strategic thinking, you mentioned outcome-driven, and you mentioned agility and readiness to change. So would you prioritize, for example, outcome over, let's say, learning from failure, over strategic thinking, over agility, over things like that? So would you prioritize outcome, or would you choose, let's say, still be somebody who will allow your team to fail, to adjust to the change, be a little bit more flexible and creative?
So there is no black and white answer to this question. It all depends on the conditions that we're working under. So for example, when you have a market that is in a difficult situation or political instability and you have to, then you have, your priority would be to be A, agile, B, overlook and think your strategy, and then start working accordingly. So look at what are your priorities, what is the big picture, how are we going to serve different markets, how are we going to make our numbers from our geography, and based on that we have to reassess our go-to-market and adapt accordingly. So it all, and in other places, for example, where we're close to our making our numbers and we have a more stable environment, we definitely encourage trying new things. And I always encourage the team to keep trying new things, try to come with innovative ideas to break the clutter and reach our customers. And based on that, definitely we can adapt, learn from failures, share failures with each other, collaborate as much as possible in order to be more innovative in our approaches.
Interesting. Just to ask you a little more here, because I really like the fact that you are encouraging your team to bring in new things, because I think in the world that we're living in now, this is a such important skill and such an important direction that the leader can take, to encourage a team to bring in new things. I just would like to ask you a little more, how difficult or easy it is for you as a leader within a bigger organization to bring in new things out there in a bigger structure. Let's say your team is bringing you a new idea or an initiative. How difficult or easy it is for you to sort of get it to your executives, to your executive leadership team further?
So the positive thing is that we encourage empowerment and accountability. So, and this helps us with coming up with new ideas. And our environment in the organization encourages trying new things and ideas coming from everywhere. This is part of the open culture as well, okay, that we embrace in the organization. So definitely, as long as we're within the guidelines, we are doing things that are innovative but will definitely deliver, it is something that is encouraged. And in fact, we present that or share this experience with the broader regions as well. So we can share it with the global team, we can share it with other regions for them to see if it suits their needs and environments, and they can try this experience as well.
That's interesting, and interesting to know that an organization, a big organization like Red Hat, has this thing as an open culture. I think it's just a lot to learn from, definitely.
Absolutely.
Would you prefer to lead a team of creators or creative people, or mostly sort of encouraging creativity, or executors? What would you prefer as a leader?
So there is no either or. Balance is important, but what matters as well is the overall picture and direction. So the first thing is having a clear strategy. And once we have this, we put under the umbrella of creativity versus execution. operation is very important and execution excellence is extremely important to bring this strategy to our customers. But a balance with creativity can make it much more interesting as well. So the operational side will help with efficiencies, and this is extremely important. But creativity can also help break the clutter, reach new segments and customers. So it's very, very important to have the balance between both. And when you're building a team, it's important to have different strength in each individuals. And this gets me to a very important point. So there are certain people with different strength, and it's very important to encourage them to focus on their strength and build on it. So for example, and let's take a different example. If we're talking about football, although I'm not a big fan of soccer, but if you're talking about football, if you're a perfect or if you're a good striker, you can focus on building your skills there versus trying to be also a good goalkeeper and a good in defense, where you will not be as a Messi one day. So when for you're sure. focusing on being a great striker, so it's very important to build more the strength while round them up with a team that have different strength in different areas.
No, that's definitely a big advantage of having both types of people in the team. The question is, how do you make them work together? Because these are two different personalities. Some people are more operational driven and they're really excellent at the operational side of things. And some people are more creative, which means a totally different type of personality. Working together is probably, that's your leader's work, that's your leader's job. How do you encourage them, you know, to work together efficiently, not to compete, not to fight with each other? So any examples from that
perspective? So this goes back to the culture and the healthy environment that we have to work in. So the more you build trust within the team, the more you celebrate success, make each person comfortable and make putting them on cross projects, asking them to work together with the same objective and goal, definitely it will build a healthier working environment. And it's very important to connect with your team as well on a personal level and make them connect with each other. So once you have this healthy environment, and it's not always perfect, obviously there will always be ups and downs, there will be challenges, there will be barriers. It's part of our it's part of life.
I mean,
that's just normal. But it's very important to always try to keep it as healthy as possible. And this is why when you have someone on your team, I believe that attitude is one of the most important things that we try to assess, other than skills, expertise, and other basically foundations. So attitude is very, very important. Once you have the right people on your team, it creates a healthy environment. Even competition it could be very, very healthy.
Absolutely,
we look at
yeah.
Between the different markets, who achieved what, and celebrate successes differently. So someone could have been the top performer on pipeline, other one could be the top performer on the biggest deal. Someone else could be have achieved a creative new idea that helped the rest as well and shared it with the rest of the team. So it's very important to celebrate those successes and build this team of people working together on a personal and professional level.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you overcome? Because you're absolutely fairly mentioned, you cannot avoid times when it's probably a little more difficult to go through, because we're working with people, we're working in different environments, etc. So I was going to say, what are those techniques? Probably, what are your top secrets as a leader? How do you overcome? How do you bring your team through those times that are not as easy as they might seem? Let's call them difficult times. I don't know. Maybe something didn't work. And how do you bring your team through that? What are those, I don't know, practices that you are using?
So what I'm using is a couple of things. A, they need to understand that my role is to support and empower them. So So if they need any support, they can come to me, and definitely I'll, as much as possible, I'll try to support them with their needs in order to accomplish our goals. So this is the first way. The second part is try to shield them out of the stress or out of the pressure that could be on us from different perspectives. So I try to take this and shield them away from it and make them focus on what they are doing. And the third thing is trying to explain to them and that barriers, challenges are business norms. Oh. So this is something that we are there to overcome them. And that's normal that we have challenges, and it's normal that we fail. As long as we learn from our failures,
yeah.
And as long as we are achieving more success rather than failures,
totally.
And we're not repeating that. So this will help the team be in a mind state that can help them work on their objectives, focus on what they are doing and deliver.
Nice. That's a great sort of practice. And thank you for sharing that. So do you consider yourself to be a hands-on leader or mainly a strategic leader, let's say? Are you getting into executions as well?
So I wouldn't consider myself as an executional leader or very much hands-on. Definitely, I support the team when needed, but I try to have an overview of the broader picture, basically. So my work there is to facilitate, to make things happen, to track basically where we are on versus our short goals, look at making sure that we're achieving the longer term goals. My role also is to develop the team and promote within. So make sure that they are always developing, giving them constructive feedback.
Yeah.
So and it's very important as well. One of the leadership skills that I believe is very important, A, self-awareness, B, listening. So trying, because if you are not aware of a certain gap or an area that you need to improve or refusing to listen, you will not improve. You will
yeah.
not make progress. And
yeah.
and this is very critical. It's a journey. I mean, at the end of the day, our career is a journey. And
yeah.
this journey, we always need to adapt, improve, and continue learning as we go. So definitely, I would look at myself more on the strategic facilitate support side of things.
Okay. Yeah. No, that absolutely makes sense. And I think that's a big role to actually encourage and facilitate and foster things within a team to bring up people to their higher level. That's definitely a big job. I would like to get a little bit into a conversation about media, about branding, media branding that is important both for companies and for personalities and professionals. I would like to ask you, as a marketing professional as well, do you consider to be media nowadays more accessible to different businesses and individuals? And do you consider this to be an important tool? And how do companies and individuals should use it, in your opinion?
It's a very good question. So when we have any go-to-market, media is a critical pillar in any campaign. And we look at different touch points. And media is a very important tool to build our brand awareness, to create credibility, to reach our segments with the relevant messages. So, for example, if we want to position ourselves as innovators, we have to be in the innovation space within media. So it's a tool that we can always can help us build different objectives and,
yeah.
and reach customers differently. So it's always part of the overall campaigns. When we develop the campaign, we have media as one of the very important pillars. It's not as much as personal. Definitely it helps with personal branding, and this is very important as well. But the most important goal is delivering the organization messages to our relevant segments and customers, our targeted customers, with the value that we can add to their organizations, and how can we help them overcome their challenges and reach their goals as well.
Do you consider it to be an important tool for leaders? Do you consider media, and I under media, I mean the ecosystem that is much broader nowadays, which also includes all social media, it includes podcast projects, not only the classical, let's say, media channels like different publications, etc., a television or radio, that we're talking about the much broader ecosystem when it comes to podcasts, social media, etc. So, and that all creates an opportunity for people to create that media story. Do you consider that media story to be important for leaders of the organizations?
There are two things, delivering and receiving. And right now, we have a huge amount of content and data that we can absorb. And when we talked about media, there are, like you rightly mentioned, there are podcasts where you can consume, for example, while commuting or while traveling. And it's a good medium that you can listen to different topics, and not necessarily and only in business, but you can learn about well-being, health. You can learn about different topics, and the amount of content and data that is available today is enormous. So there is also social media where you can consume while you're on the go on your phone, but it needs your visual attention as well. There are all sorts of different mediums. And it's very important when you deliver on the different mediums. So you make sure that you are reaching the customers throughout their journey.
Yeah.
And when you're consuming, it's the same thing as well. You have a variety of media consumption that you will be absorbing throughout your day.
Yeah. So, which means if you're leading, let's say, if you are taking a leadership position, do you think that would strengthen your, let's say, thought leadership? Probably that will create a bigger impact if you have the right exposure in the right channels. Do you consider that to be an important aspect? Like, for example, you as a leader, do you consider it important for yourself to be exposed to some media channels to deliver your message to a broader audience?
Absolutely. So we have an external communication function, which is a very critical function within our marketing organization. And we put a lot of emphasis in, especially when we're talking about B2B, it's a critical function and a critical medium to deliver our messages through different parts of medias.
Do you enjoy listening to podcasts?
Yes,
watching or listening, by the way?
It, as mentioned, so if I'm driving, for example, if I'm commuting, it will be listening. Usually, where I have time to be on my phone, then I can watch.
Right, and what are some of your favorites? Let's say, probably professional podcasts or maybe personal podcasts.
In terms of channel, I would say Harvard Business Review. There is TED Talk. It has a lot of very, very interesting topics, I would say. And Smart Marketing as well is another channel that is very interesting.
A podcast. That is
yes, that's a professional podcast.
I have checked that out, by the way. And that is something that gives you like really practical advice in terms of the trends, in terms of the latest marketing developments. So does that help you on a day-to-day basis? Do you take any knowledge out of there, or do you just inspire yourself with the ideas with the speakers?
Sometimes I go by topic.
Yeah.
So if there is a certain topic, for example, on smart marketing, there is how to build a partner community in B2B marketing and sales, and it talks about the mutual value and approaches of how can you go about win-win, and it gives examples of a startup could have a great technology but not the reach. How can you partner with another organization to both of you to win and reach? But it depends. So in some cases I go by topic.
Yeah.
In other cases I go by a speaker to learn from a successful, for example, entrepreneur. How did he? What was the experiences throughout his journey? What are the challenges? How did he overcome those challenges? And how did he reach where he is right now? So it's a mixture of
different interests.
Yeah, yes.
How do you encourage, or if you are encouraging your team to also consume some educational content through formats like podcasts? So do you discuss anything within the team or?
So the discussion is usually about development, and then we go into the how. So if we discuss that someone needs to build their strategic thinking or public speaking skills, and then we start discussing the how. So there is one of the most important pillars is learn by doing. So definitely we give projects and we make them do things so they can learn. And then we have a Red Hat University, which again has a lot of material that includes, by the way, podcasts as mm-hmm. well. But it has a lot of courses and materials. And we have, of course, different courses within the organization that we can apply to and get like leadership courses or certain skills, courses for certain skills, and then they can apply to it and get education from there as well. But in general, learning is very important as we go. So it's something that I encourage the team to always get out of their comfort zone and try new things and learn new things.
It also motivates, I think, your team members or any professional, I think, to become a better professional, right? When you learn new things, when you staying curious all the time, that motivates you to become, when you see others, motivates you to become a better professional in your own area.
Not only a professional, but a person as well.
Yeah.
So you can learn about many things. It doesn't have to be only professional. So
totally.
In many cases, I go about health and well-being. I try to understand different things that I can practice in life to be a healthier person and so on. So it could be anything. It could be a better parent. It could be a better, but in general, learning and listening to peers and utilizing the amount of content that's available nowadays a day is very important.
Totally. And speaking about well-being, do you believe in the work-life balance? Work-life balance, is this something that you think exists, or is it a myth as such?
It definitely exists, and there are peaks where you put much more time at work than with your family, and there are certain times where you take some time off and you can spend more time with family other than work. But again, it's a personal choice, I believe. It's a priority that each individual would have to make for her or himself.
Yeah.
So some people would put, so they're not interested in making much progress in their career. They're more interested in spending time, quality time with family. Okay, this could be a choice. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's a choice. Other people would say, no, I want a career all the way. I want to become a CEO, and this is where I want to spend my time, and this is how I want to spend my time, and this is how they spend their time. So at work much more than with family. And of course, again, it's a personal choice. You can go with a healthy balance, for example, between working sometimes till late night or continuously traveling, while other times you can slow down and spend some time with your family. There are always seasonalities as well. So there are certain quarters with certain seasonalities. We all know, like end of year, there is some people close the year end of year and it's extremely busy.
Yeah.
But there is a holiday season. During summer, there is another downtime where customers are off. So you can take some time off as well and spend more time with the family. So seasonality.
No, I totally agree with you. And yeah, thanks for sharing it. I think it's interesting how different people talk about work-life balance. And I totally agree with you. It's a choice. It's a personal choice for sure.
Absolutely.
I've got a few questions about leadership as well. So but very simple one, probably quick answers. So do you think leaders need common sense or skills? What do leaders need more, common sense or people or skills?
The first quick answer, common sense is not common anymore, unfortunately, with all what's happening around us. But again, a balance is very important. Skills is crucial, and this is how you have an edge, your expertise, and it opens doors for you. But utilizing them with common sense and applying common sense is also important. I mean, common sense would say if someone is injured, he needs medical attention. But skills in using the medical attention is what will help this person. So a balance is very important.
That's great. Do you consider to be networking an important skill when it comes to a business leader or a person who's growing his career, let's say? Do you consider to be networking an important skill?
Networking is an extremely important throughout your journey. So on a professional and a personal level, it opens a lot of doors for you. It helps you build your horizon. It helps you with opening up opportunities, building mentorship, learning new things from different people. But it's critical and very important, and it has to be done in an authentic way. So you have to be your own self and reach out to people and be proactive and build your network as much as possible with a positive reputation.
Amazing. Yeah, totally. I absolutely agree with you. If you had a chance to have any mentor in the world, who would that be?
I was fortunate to have very, very good mentors throughout my career. And each period of my career, I've learned many things from the different leaders that I've worked with. But if I talk about aspiration or someone who is a public figure, I would mention two people. The first one is Omar Ashraq, which is the chairman of Intel. And he used to work for GE at a certain point, and then he had Medtronic as CEO, and now he's chairman for Intel. And the other person is Satya, Nadal Satya, which is the CEO of Microsoft. And both of them share a very important quality, which is business transformation. So how they managed to transform the huge, massive global organizations that they worked for. So in different aspects, different ways, but both of them were extremely successful. So if we look at Microsoft CEO Satya, how he managed to transform Microsoft to be a leader in cloud, and the business decision making. Lately, we've heard about what happened with ChatGPT CEO, and he invested massively there, and how he managed overnight to before the stock market opens, to manage the situation. So again, it shows decision making and ability to reach such decisions that will help the organization in a very short period of time versus having to correct that on a longer time.
Yeah. No, that's very impressive. I agree with you. It's just unbelievable how risky it could be and how quickly you need to take a decision on something that has got such a huge impact.
Absolutely.
In your leadership approach, do you focus on the long-term sort of outcomes or quick wins that can create an immediate impact?
So again, it is a mix of both. So it's very important to have aspirational long-term goals and objectives. And it is very crucial to break down this long-term objective into small bites that you can consume on daily basis or quarterly basis, and celebrate the wins as you go. Make sure that you're tracking them so you know that you're on the right direction or on the right path in order to achieve this longer-term goal.
For sure. Absolutely. What would you advise to marketeers or maybe any other professionals who are on the journey to become a leader? What would be your top advice, or probably top two advisors?
We've mentioned a couple of things, but definitely networking is very, very important. The other thing is curiosity and learning throughout their journey is another critical foundation for them to grow. Listening, so make sure that they listen and they and this from across, so listening to customers on what they need and trying to deliver value. Delivering value is another important thing. So it's we spoke about networking, we spoke about many things, but making sure that you're delivering value to the organization and not looking at I'm working in this function, for example, in procurement or in marketing, and this is what I need to do. No, you need to look at the overall picture. How can you go out of your way in order to achieve the broader objective for the organization? So this is another very important thing.
Great. Do you make New Year's resolutions, by the way?
I wouldn't say New Year, but I have personal long-term goals, and quarterly I look at what I'm achieving in order to reach there. And sometimes it changes, but again, I have a couple of aspirations that I need to reach, and it's not only one goal, but I have few of them that I have them on a long term,
yeah.
And I see how do I progress as I go.
And are you still on a journey, meaning like sometimes we tend to give a New Year's resolution in December, let's say, and then by January, just because it's life and you've got things happening and you probably workload and everything else, and then you tend to forget your New Year's resolution, and then you return back to it, let's say next December, and you create another one. So are you still on your New Year's resolution? Are you still on the track?
I'm on track. If I look at 10, 20 years ago, definitely where I am right now is something that wasn't even in my horizon. So as I was reaching goals and then putting to myself additional aspirations, objectives, and I'm on track. So far, yes.
Okay. That's great. And I wish you a great 2024. Mohammed, it was a very insightful conversation. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being sincere. Thank you for sharing your practices. Yeah,
it's always a pleasure talking to you, Lara. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Having me here.